Good morning. Our scripture reading today is a letter from Apostle Paul to the church in Colossae. We are reading Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 14, which is a prayer of Paul for the Colossae church. But first, let us pray. Heavenly Father, may your Holy Spirit be with us today as we have this sermon. Help me in the delivery of the message, and help the church family in hearing and applying your message from Colossians. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the scripture reading is Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 to 14. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. This is the word of the Lord. So, Paul probably never visited Colossae personally. He heard about the good report about the Colossae church from Epaphras, who was a leader in establishing a church there. Epaphras visited Paul while Paul was imprisoned under house arrest in Rome, and he talked with Paul about the Colossian church. Paul then wrote Colossians from prison. That was around AD 60 or 62, to encourage the believers and guard them against false teaching. This morning, I'm going to be talking about seven goals of our church family. Number one, the church, to be as the family of God. Number two, prayer, to build our church on the foundation of prayer. Number three, shepherding, to love and care for one another. Number four, discipleship, to grow spiritually in Christ and in mentoring others. Number five, leadership, to reflect Christ and share the gospel with others. Number six, God's calling, to use our gifts in serving Christ and others. And number seven is application, to live out our life mission for the Lord. So starting with the first goal, and these are aspirational goals of the church family. Number one, the church of Jesus Christ is not merely an organization. It is a family, a people redeemed by the blood of Christ, the body of Christ. Colossians 1:18 says, Christ is the head of the body, the church. Because the church belongs to Christ, those who lead in the church must never think of leadership as merely being in meetings, decisions, programs, policies, or duties. These things may be necessary, but they are not the heart of spiritual leadership. The heart of spiritual leadership is prayer. A prayerful care of the people of God. Elders and deacons are called to serve Christ by caring for his people. That care includes responding to known needs, encouraging spiritual growth, and setting an example of humble, faithful, Christ-like service. But all this must be built on the foundation of prayer. Paul's prayer in Colossians 1 gives us a beautiful pattern. In fact, you know, God's word quite often reads like poetry. and it has great power. And each of the words have such powerful meaning. He does not merely pray for the Colossians that they'd be healthy, safe, comfortable, or free from difficulty. These things matter, and it is right to pray about them, but Paul's prayer goes much deeper than that. He prays for their knowledge of God's will. He prays their walk with the Lord, their fruitfulness, their strength, their endurance, their joy, and their gratitude for redemption in Christ. That gives us a pattern to follow for shepherding, for discipleship, and for leadership. Number two, prayer is the foundation of spiritual care. Paul begins, Colossians 1, verse 9, "For this reason also, since the first day we heard it, I do not cease to pray for you." Paul's care for the believers expressed itself first in prayer. He had heard about their faith and love, and he responded by praying for them. And that's instructive to us. Paul did not see prayer as a small thing. He did not see prayer as a last resort. He did not see prayer as simply to open a meeting or close a meeting. Prayer was the foundation of his spiritual concern for those people at that church. This is important to us because church leadership can easily become activity without dependence. We can discuss needs, we can organize care, we can make decisions, we can plan programs, while slowly drifting away from prayerful dependence on the Lord. But the church is Christ's church. The people are Christ's people. Spiritual growth is Christ's work by his Spirit. Therefore, our care must begin with prayer. John chapter 15, verse 5 says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." We ourselves, we can't change hearts, but we can pray. And prayer reminds us that the Lord can do what we cannot do. The elders and deacons have joined in forming separate teams who pray daily through their shepherding list. Each day, one individual or family is brought before the Lord. Over the course of the month, the list is prayed through. This does not replace praying for urgent needs. Rather, it adds an intentional spiritual care for the whole flock. So that's number two. Number three, shepherding means loving and caring. Shepherding includes practical and compassionate care. When someone is ill, grieving, lonely, financially burdened, discouraged, facing family problems, or walking through a difficult season, the church family should be praying for them and aiding them. The people of God should know that they are being remembered and supported and loved. That care is the heart of shepherding. A shepherd notices the condition of the flock. A shepherd does not merely wait for dramatic emergencies. A shepherd learns to ask, who may be struggling? Who may be slipping through the cracks? Who needs encouragement? Who needs a call, a visit, a note, a prayer, or practical help? This kind of care is deeply biblical. Christ himself is the good shepherd. He knows his sheep. He calls them by name, and he lays down his life for them. John chapter 10, verses 14 and 15 says, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Those who serve under Christ must reflect his shepherding heart. So now we're to number four. Discipleship means growing spiritually and in mentoring others. Paul's prayer in Colossians 1 goes beyond physical or circumstantial needs. He prays, and again here in verses 9 and 10, for this reason also, since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you, and we ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. This is discipleship language. Paul is praying that believers will know God's will, walk worthy of the Lord, bear fruit, and grow in the knowledge of God. This helps us see that spiritual care must include more than praying for sickness or surgery or family burdens or whatever life troubles. Those prayers are right and necessary, but a Christian prayer must not stop there. We should also pray for spiritual maturity. This is where shepherding and discipleship meet. Shepherding asks, how are you doing? Discipleship asks, how are you growing in Christ? Both are necessary. That is why the daily prayer list should include both dimensions. First, a care focus for health, family, financial, emotional, and life burdens. Second, spiritual growth focus. That would include faith, obedience, love, endurance, repentance, service, and fruitfulness. Number five, leadership means reflecting Christ and sharing the gospel. Paul also prays in Colossians chapter 1, verse 11, they are strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Spiritual leadership requires strength from the Lord. Leadership in the church is not merely having authority, it is reflecting Christ. This means leaders must model what they encourage in others. If we call the congregation to prayer, we must be people of prayer. If we call others to care, we must care. If we call others to spiritual growth, we must be growing ourselves. If we call others to humility, we must lead humbly. That is why leadership is one of the three connected parts of this model. Shepherding, care for needs. Discipleship, spiritual growth. Leadership, reflecting Christ. Leadership is not separate from shepherding and discipleship. It gives them a visible shape. People learn not only what leaders say, but what leaders practice. So we should ask, are we modeling prayer, care, and spiritual concern? Are we growing in Christ-like humility, love, and faithfulness? Are we leading through example more than with words? These questions are meant to keep us dependent on Christ. None of us leads perfectly. None of us prays perfectly. None of us shepherds perfectly. But we can keep returning to the Lord, asking him to shape us into more faithful servants. So now we're to number six, God's calling every believer has spiritual influence, every one of us. As we think about shepherding, discipleship, leadership, and prayer, we should not leave this in the hands of just church officers or just ministry leaders. Those roles are important. Elders and deacons do have a particular biblical responsibility to the church. They are called to shepherd, serve, pray, encourage, and lead by a Christ-like example. But there's a broader sense in which every believer has influence. John C. Maxwell, a pastor who wrote many books on leadership, has summarized leadership this way. Leadership is influence. Nothing more, nothing less. This quotation expresses an important truth. Every Christian influences others. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, each one should use whatever gift he or she has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. We influence our family, we influence our friends, we influence neighbors, fellow church members, and sometimes we influence people we do not even realize that they are watching us. This question is not whether we have influence. The question is whether our influence is pointing others to Christ. A mature believer who encourages a younger believer is exercising spiritual influence. A person who has suffered and now comforts someone else is exercising spiritual influence. A quiet servant who faithfully prays, attends church, listens, and cares is exercising spiritual influence. So shepherding, discipleship, and leadership are not only responsibilities of church officers, they are qualities we want to cultivate through the entire congregation, the entire people, church people of God. We pray not only that people will be cared for, but they will become caring people. We pray not only that people will be discipled, but they will become a godly influence in the lives of others. The church is not merely an audience watching a few leaders serve. The church is a body, and each member is a part of that body. So the seventh goal here is application. And this is talking about every one of us and our life mission. This brings us back to Paul's prayer in Colossians 1. We pray that each believer would be filled with the knowledge of God's will, walk worthy of the Lord, bear fruit in every good work, increase each of us in the knowledge of God, be strengthened with God's power, endure with patience and joy, and give thanks for the redemption in Christ. This is the kind of congregation we long to become, a praying church family, a caring church family, a growing, spiritually growing church family, a Christ-reflecting church family, a church family where every believer uses their influence for the glory of the Lord. Paul ends his prayer by focusing on what God has done in Christ. Colossians 1, verses 12 to 14 says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us, each of us, to be partakers in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through Christ's blood, the forgiveness of sins. This is the gospel foundation underneath all shepherding, discipleship, and leadership. So let me close with a prayer. Father, thank you for delivering us from the power of darkness and bringing us into the kingdom of the Son, of your Son, of your love. Thank you for redemption us through Christ's blood and the forgiveness of sins. Teach us to shepherd with compassion, disciple with spiritual concern, and lead with Christ-like humility. Help our elders and deacons to pray faithfully for those that are entrusted to their care, but help all the church family to grow as a praying, caring, maturing body of believers. Let's use our life experiences, our words, our prayers, our service, and our example to influence others toward Christ. May we walk worthy of Christ, bear fruit in every good work, and reflect the love of the Good Shepherd. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.